special tea y'all make here at the... So if you see me in the middle of my sermon, turn around and grab it. Just understand it's the tea. Is that all right? Let's give God some praise for the tea. Amen. 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 There's a word from the Lord. I won't be before you long. I praise God for your pastor. You have one of the greatest pastors in the country. Amen. Pastor Ventus, I thank God for you. You're always encouraging. You're a father to many, and I praise God for that. We met over in Africa. Amen. Amen. And we've been friends ever since. Somebody said something crazy at the airport, and we laughed about 30 minutes. Really seriously, like you know, Sister Smith was there, you know, she had to tell us to be quiet, y'all keep it down, you know. We was embarrassing them, but we was real hood and ghetto. Amen. There's a word from the Lord. I praise God for my lovely, sweet wife. Amen. Amen. That's my baby. That's my boo. We just celebrated 25 years of marriage. Amen. Amen. And she's going to renew my contract this year. Thank God for that as well. And so good to see my dear cousin and friend, the Reverend Sean Williams. Amen. Give God some praise for him over there. Wave your hands so they can see you. Good, powerful preacher there, and his lovely wife, Tanya. And I thank God for all of you. Let's get into the Word. Is that all right? Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. That dirty tea gonna take my sugar right up to Jesus, ain't it? It's gonna take my sugar. Do I just here? That's what it's gonna do. And I'm excited about that. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. I want to talk from the topic, what good fathers do. What good fathers do. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Father, help me to preach like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, one of the greatest things that I can say is that God has been good to me. I know that's all of our testimony here. Have I got a witness to anybody? When you just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, it'll make you shout, won't it? There was somebody that said it like this, that count your blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you just what the Lord has done. Because the reality is, God is good to all of us. Amen, somebody. And I don't care how dressed up you are, how good you look, God is good to you, and you ought to give him the praise. Amen, somebody. When I was young, I used to praise God for stuff and things. Because, I was excited. You know, when I got my first apartment, I had white everything. white everything, you know, because I was the, you know, I wanted it to be light, nice, you know. And I thank God that I knew I was blessed. But as I got older, I started thanking him for his works. Because God don't have to give you stuff, and God don't have to work within you either. Amen, somebody. And so I thank God not just for the stuff and things now, but I thank him for the people he's given me. All of us can say God has given us some great people in our lives. Amen. Some great people that instilled in us and helped shape us and form us. God's been good. I thank God for the Dr. Smiths in my life and the Tracy Vintages in my life. And I thank God for my wife. And this ain't one of them fake thank yous. I thank God for my wife. I wish I had a witness in here. And I ain't one of them fakers that be talking about, you know, like it's good, but we go home, it's always awful. No, I got a good wife, and she got a good man. Amen, somebody. And I thank God for my wife. I thank God that I had great mother and father. My dad's not here anymore. My mother's not here anymore. God bless them. But they showed me Jesus. I had a good mother and father who was there for me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be preaching at the New Mission Baptist Church. I wish I had a witness in here. And of all the relationship that I have, all the relationship, all the people that God has blessed me with, the most important relationship in my life outside of my marriage is being a father. I love being a father. I love being called a father. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Having children, y'all listen, having children these days will show you how to pray. Father God, protect them from every evildoer. Father God, watch over them from gun violence. Watch over them from drug usage. Watch my kids. Your kids will keep you praying, won't they? Having children will teach you how to sacrifice, won't it? They got to have the George, at least one pair. Get them some George, don't you? Go out there and have them going to school and ain't got to get them some George or some. You can get them. You can get them. Somebody, Uncle Ray can help. But they'll teach you how to sacrifice. Having children will teach you how to forgive, won't it? Because your children will do some things that will make you... come on, talk to me in here. Some of y'all have done it. Some of y'all ain't got custody of your kids right now. But the reality is your kids will teach you how to forgive, that I'm showing you grace right now, that I'm not giving you what you deserve right now. I'm giving you some love that you really don't deserve. They'll teach you how to forgive. Having children will teach you how to be patient. What's the biblical term? Long-suffering. Amen, somebody. These kids do stuff today that we would have never done when we was kids. This is a whole new breed. These are savages. These ain't real kids, These kids are savages. Have I got to witness somebody in this? And fathering a child is easy, or being a father to a child is easy, but fathering a child is hard work. It's hard because there's no real formula for raising the kids. Amen, somebody. Okay, I like to cook. One of my favorite dishes of my kids love is when I make some macaroni and cheese. And see, I use Monterey Jack in mine, and Kobe Jack, but there's some main ingredients. Everybody's recipe for macaroni and cheese is different. And whenever they cook it, there's got to be some main ingredients that we all can take part in and say, we all do it. We got to have the eggs, you got to have the milk, you got to have the macaronis, you got to have the cheese. Amen? There's some simple ingredients. Everybody got their own twist to it, whatever, but those main ingredients has to be there for it to be macaroni and cheese. Have I got a witness? Can I slide a point in there and say, if you don't know how to cook, stop cooking macaroni and cheese and bring it over to the family? Can I go deeper? If you have roaches, don't cook. Stop cooking for people. You know you got roaches. If you got roaches, just be still and know that he is God. But just like there are some ingredients in having macaroni and cheese, I want to learn some main ingredients to becoming a godly father. Is that all right today? Can you come down with me to the Jordan River for a moment and hang out at the baptism of Jesus? And this is found in your Bible in Matthew 3 and in Mark 1 and in Luke 3. And see, in Luke, John is already in jail. So somehow Jesus has already been baptized. But in Matthew, John baptizes Jesus. So who is there? There's debates among scholars who was actually there to baptize him. I don't know who was there. Was it Mary? Some people say, well, maybe it was his disciples that did it. Or maybe it was John. Or maybe it was Matthew that was there. I don't know. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we don't know if Mary was there. We don't know if John was there. We don't know if the disciples were there. But the one that showed up at the baptism of Jesus was his father. We do know that his father was there. So what makes a good father? Let's just get to the first point. What makes a good father is that you have to show up. Have I got to witness somebody in the building? God shows up and has something to say. And that's pointed for me to say it like that because for 400 years, he had not spoken. So from Malachi to Matthew, there was 400 years of silence. Jesus had not spoken. And even when it's prophesied to Mary that she's going to have the Son of God, it was spoken through a prophet. Through an angel. Have I got to witness somebody here? But Jesus is saying, listen, my father has something to say, and real dads show up when it involves their child. Notice that there's no prayer at the baptism. Nobody asked God to show up. God said, it's my child, I don't need to be invited. Have I got a witness, somebody in the building? I'll never forget my father. I had a really good father. And sometimes we don't appreciate our parents while they're here. We start looking backwards, don't we? We start looking backwards. And I'll never forget the time that my mother and all three of my big brothers and me, we was all in the car, deuce and a quarter. That's what we was driving. A Buick Electra. I was 7 years old, and we were driving, and we were going down the hill, and the brake lining, y'all remember brake lining, don't you? Yeah, brake pads, the brake lining. And the brakes went out, and we hit a wall. I broke my leg that day. I was the only one that got really injured. Everybody else was cool. But, you know, they said I broke my leg because the seats was being held up by bricks. We was really poor, wasn't we? We was really going through some stuff. But I'll never forget that day because when they called my father at work, he walked all the way from his job in 95 degree weather to show up for his family. I'll never forget looking up and being horrified, not knowing what to do. And my father is drenched with sweat coming down his face, coming to make sure his family was all right. Fathers, you gotta learn how to show up. You gotta learn how to show up. Listen, my kids' teachers knew who I was. They knew who I was at all their schools. They knew who I was. I didn't mind coming to their schools because they know I'm gonna show up. Because I want them to know that while you're teaching my black daughter and my black son, they got a mother and a father. You need to know it. Because when I come up there, I'm going to say some stuff that Sister Harris can't say. And I'm going to say it in a way that Sister Harris can't say it. They need to know, where my real fathers at? Because real fathers show up. Have I got to witness anybody in the building? Let me tell you the difference between a real father or a godly father and a baby daddy. A baby daddy shows up at graduation. But a godly father shows up at parent-teacher conferences. A baby daddy shows up at birthday parties. Godly fathers pray over the child before they go to bed at night. Baby daddies get the grade report in the mail. Godly fathers already know what the grade is going to be before the report gets sent out. Because there is a difference of a father showing up for their child. And God is saying, I showed up for my son. You need to show up for your kids. Some of y'all got too many excuses. Man, she won't even let me come over to the house. She won't even let me sit. Grow up. Go to the courthouse and get some custody of your kids, man. This is not a day to down talk brothers. I think we get down talked enough. But this is just a motivational speech. That's all. That's all it is. Don't get offended today. Is that all right? But something happens when a father shows up. Have I got a witness? In Luke 1:35, Gabriel prophesies over Mary, and he shall be called the Son of God. And folk are going to look at him and say he is the Son of God. He's not just anybody. This ain't anybody you're dealing with. This is the Son of God. This is my son, everybody. See, when they see his works and when they see his miracles, they're going to call him the Son of God. John 1:49, Nathanael declares, this is the Son of God. Peter in Caesarea Philippi in the Gospel of Matthew says, Jesus says to him, and who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, as he's dying on the cross, and the Roman centurion looks up at him and say, truly, you are the Son of God. But get this, before Nathanael said it, before Peter said it, before the Roman centurion declared it, God shows up at the Jordan River, and he is the first to call Jesus the Son of God. Do y'all not see that in the text? God sees in his son who he is before anybody else could see it. Can I go deeper? The second criteria of being a good father or being a good dad is not just showing up, but it's also seeing your child's potential and possibilities. Amen, lights. Because to recognize is to recognize their potential, is to recognize who they are going to be, so that if anybody believes in their daughter, if anybody believes in their son, it ought to be you, Dad. God says that in chapter 3. He says in chapter 3, Pastor, I got to tell you something, deep. After chapter 3 comes chapter 4. Did I throw you off? Because in chapter 3, he tells him he is the Son of God. After the Jordan comes the wilderness in chapter 4. And after the baptism comes the temptation. And after seeing his father's presence is the time he has to stand by himself. And when he is in the wilderness, the very first thing that the devil asks him, he says, if thou be the Son of God. The devil tests his knowledge of who he is. And Jesus said, hold up, man. You didn't hear chapter 3. Because my daddy said in chapter 3, I'm already his son. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I am who my daddy says that I am. And is there anybody here that can testify? Your child can say that same thing about you. I am who my father says I am. I am. By speaking into him his possibilities and seeing his potential, God prepared his son for the wilderness. God has prepared him to stand up on his own. God has prepared him to deal with the enemy. Daddy, every time you speak the possibilities into their hearing, you are preparing them for their wilderness. You're preparing them for their temptation. And you're preparing them for them dealing with the enemy. Before anybody knows, you have prepared your child. That's your job, brother. Have I got a witness, anybody in the building? So every time you tell them how much gift that they have, you are preparing them for their wilderness experience. When that knucklehead tries to sell your son drugs or whatever, he's able to say, I'm a child of God. My daddy told me so. I walk like I know who I am. You are preparing her when that Negro tries to raise his hand at her. And every time you tell your son how smart he is, you're preparing him for that teacher that treats him as he's dumb because he's a black boy. Every time you tell your daughter how beautiful she is, you are preparing her for that young thug who thinks that a compliment will get her to open up her legs. I wish I had a witness in the building. My daddy already told me I'm fine. I don't need nobody else to tell me. I'm secure in who I am because my daddy told me who I am. What God understands is that before the enemy can change who they are, you tell them who you are. You stand up and tell them who you are. Okay, let me come in like this. In the gospel according to the Lion King. Simba's the son of Mufasa. Y'all remember that, don't you? And Mufasa is the king of the lions. Mufasa has an envious brother by the name of Scar. Y'all know the story, don't you? And Scar sets up the murder of Mufasa, then frightens young Simba to run off away from his destiny. Simba runs from his destiny and finds himself in the wilderness with Timon and Pumbaa. Y'all remember them, don't you? Hakuna Matata. And life is easy as he runs from his destiny until he runs up on Rafiki. Y'all remember Rafiki, don't you? The little monkey witch doctor. And Simba tells Rafiki, I miss my daddy. And Rafiki tells Simba, your daddy is not dead. Simba says, then show me my dad. And Rafiki takes him to a puddle of water. And he looks down in the water and sees his reflection. And his reflection transforms into Mufasa. And Mufasa says to him, "You are more than you have become." And when young Simba hears his dad tell him who he really is, he runs back to fight the battle. Because when your dad tells you who you are, it gives you the strength to fight every battle that they will go through. Now, I thank God for my mamas, but y'all had your time last month. I gotta talk to the dads. Because when a dad speaks possibility, when a dad sees potential, it empowers a child to stand up to their enemies. Show us your presence. Let me show you who you are, son. Let me show you who you are, daughter. And you say, "Well, I really don't know what to say to him." God will give you that. Ask God for it. Being a father is more than hanging around with your friends, smoking black and miles, telling them to go sit down somewhere. Being a father knows that he pulls his pants up on his behind. Being a father is not telling your child when they cry, "Grow up, little nigga. Happy Juneteenth." Being a real father encourages, they see their possibility, and he says, the Lord says, "This is my beloved son," or "the son whom I love." Y'all with me now? He says this, and I am well pleased with him. The Lord looks down at Jesus, brothers and sisters, and in Luke, God says, "You are my son in whom I'm well pleased." In Matthew, it's a public declaration. So God in Luke says to Jesus, "I'm proud of you." The Lord says to Jesus, "I'm proud of you." But in Matthew chapter 3 and Mark 1 and Luke 3, Jesus ain't done nothing yet. Jesus ain't done nothing yet. And the Father says, "I'm proud of you." He has not worked no miracles. He has not walked on water. He has not raised the dead. He has not made blind men see. He ain't turned no water to no Moscato. Jesus hadn't done nothing yet. And yet the Father says, "I'm proud of you." Jesus ain't done nothing, and yet the Lord says, "I'm proud of you," because my pride is not attached to what you do. My pride is connected to who I know you are. The Lord understood that every child, including Jesus, needs to know that their Father is proud of them. Think in your own life, think in your own mind how motivated you are, how inspired you are even today, how energized you are when you know your Father's pleased with you. I'll never forget this one time we was driving home. My son was about 3 years old, and it was just me and him riding. He riding in the back, and he got his little hand behind his head like this. He just looking at me. I said, "What's going on, bud?" And he said, I'm just looking at you." I said, "Why are you looking at me?" He said, "Because I'm trying to figure out how many ways I could please you." Woo! That's what happens when you pour into your child. See, daddy's poor. I was going to name the title of this sermon, "Daddy's Poor." And y'all were going to think, "Oh, he broke? Is he poor?" No, real daddy's poor. Real daddy's poor. You with me now? Y'all silly, I'm trying to get out of here. I got to go preach at another church. But look. But the Lord understood that, and there's something phenomenal about the father who looks at his son and can look at his daughter regardless of their age and say, I am proud of you. It motivates us to see our father's pride. Have I got to witness anybody in the building? And not only does God say, I'm proud of you, he says, I love you. There's something phenomenal that happens when a dad tells them, children, I love you. Don't tell yourself that you're too much of a man to tell your children that you love them. That's what prison did to you. Get that prison out of you and start parenting your kids the right way and letting them know that you love them so they won't go to prison. I wish I had a witness in here. Ain't nothing wrong with you telling your child, I love you. Me and my kids, they know before a conversation's over, they always get, I love you. I love you too, Daddy. I don't care if I'm in Kroger's. I don't care if I'm at home. I don't care if I'm at their school. I don't care if they feel embarrassed. I love you. Daddy, can you not really say that in school? Do you know how many other kids I done told I love them too? Because they don't have nobody in their life to tell them that they love. Oh, I told them to. Don't you worry about being embarrassed. I told your friends I love them too. When the girls come over to the house, my daughter's friends come over to the house, I say, hi, daughter. Hi, daughter. Hi, my other daughter. How you doing, daughter? Because it tells them, number one, that they're safe. Because there's a father in the house. But it also tells them that they love. When they get ready to leave, love you, daughter. I love you, daughter. Love you, baby. Love you, too. I get off the phone when I talk to preachers. When I get off the phone, the first thing I say is, love you, man. Sometimes they'll say I love you back, but some of them still too hard to say I love you back. Don't bother me none. My wife said when she first met me, it's all boys in our family, and she said when she first met me, she never heard men tell each other they love each other so much like she heard me tell my brothers and my brothers tell me the same thing. Well, that's how it works, because my daddy taught me that. If you wind up the president of the United States, I still love you. If you wind up a greeter at Walmart, I still love you. If you graduate with honors, I love you. But if you take 6 years to get your bachelor's degree, we're gonna have a talk. But I still love you. If you exceed my dreams for your life, I love you. And if you disappoint me with your decisions that you make, I still love you. Because some of you got some kids that are gay and lesbian, and you think you're condoning it by letting them in the house. No, you're showing them love. So every time they come in, they're getting the love of Jesus in your house. Stop being so deep. Wish I had a witness in here. And if they get married and produce the kind of family that I dreamed of, I still love you. But if they love somebody that I have a hard time understanding, I still love you. Because nothing should never break the father's love for their child. Have I got a witness in here? So, Dad, I need you to go home. You got some assignments to do. And listen, you know, we can talk about this the next time. Stop the drinking and smoking because it's altering who you are. Some of you, your kids have never understood the sober you. They have always been presented the drunk side of you. They need to see the godly side of you. Have I got to witness somebody? Do you think that the shootings that went on here in Madisonville the other night would have gone on if we had our fathers raising up children and telling them how much they are loved, how much they are appreciated, how much potential that they have, how many possibilities that they have? So your assignment, your homework, is to show your presence. Not just show your presence, but see their possibilities. See it and speak it into their lives. Pour into them. Do I need to get my drink again to show you? And share your pride and love to them. And when we do that, we are fathering our children like God fathered his own son. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, thank you for giving me a word that I didn't have to hoop. Thank you for being so powerful that your word, it convicts all of us. It convicts us to be better men, better fathers. Even when we look at our own selves in the mirror and we're not pleased with what we see, God, you give us new mercy. You help us wake up in new mercies, a puddle of new mercies every single morning. Giving us a day to do better today than we did on yesterday. So, Father God, raise up our men. Raise us up so we can raise up our sons and daughters. And we're going to be careful to give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Give God some praise in the building.